letters combined to reach the full measure of a gris. And today's daf will go through verses to clarify that there is in fact a concept of a sliding scale carbon, the carbon olaviyored, for a person who forgets that he was impure and walks into the mikdash, or forgets that he is impure and eats holy meat, the meat of a carbon. And what's the source that obligates a carbon olaviyored? Again, an important reminder, carbon olaviyored is a unique chatas. A typical carbon chatas, a typical sin offering, is if a person does a sin by mistake and then he finds out he did a sin, so he has to bring, he only has one option, whether he's poor, very poor, rich, same option. He has to bring a sheep, he has to bring a goat, a female sheep or goat. Carbon olaviyored, suddenly you have different options. If he's wealthy, then he brings the sheep or goat. If he's very, very poor, he can get away with just bringing some flour and oil, a mincha. So that's a unique situation where what he's obligated to do might depend on how wealthy he is. Okay, again, the Mishnah says, as sheyesh b'yadiyah batchila, ve'ein b'yadiyah basof, if he knew he was impure and he couldn't go into the temple, but then he forgot that he was impure, went into the temple, but when he came out of the temple, he hasn't yet realized or he hasn't yet been told that he was impure while he was in the temple. So the Mishnah said, the sayer l'Hashem, the goat that where the blood is sprinkled in the holiest of holies on Yom Kippur, creates a shield for him until he will find out that he was impure when he was in the temple, and then he'll have to bring the sliding scale karma. Tanur Rabbanan, our sages taught us in a brisa. Minayin sheina kasa medaber ela betumas mikdash v'kadashav. How do we know that when the pasuk in chapter 5 of Vayikra is talking about the sliding scale karban, it talks about him forgetting something. How do we know that it means that he forgot he was impure and he walked into the temple, or he forgot he was impure and he ate a sacrifice? That's the question. So now the first possible source suggests the Gemara, Vidinu, maybe it's based on what we call Mamatzinu. Mamatzinu means if we find a concept in one place, we can compare it to elsewhere and derive from it to elsewhere. So maybe it's a Mamatzinu. What's the Mamatzinu? Like this. Ho'il v'hizir, since the Torah gives a warning. And then Va'anash, it gives a punishment of Kares. Alatuma, for someone who is impure, and while being impure, deliberately enters the temple, or deliberately eats a sacred animal. V'chiev karban alatuma, and the Torah creates the sliding scale obligation karban for something about impurity. So makashi is hirvanash, alatuma lo hirvanash, alatumas mikdash v'kadashav. So just like when there is a warning and a punishment for the deliberate violations of impurity, it means impurity walking into the temple, impurity eating sacred meat, afkashachiev karban. So to when the Torah talks about a sacrifice, alatuma, in regards to impurity, what does it mean about the impurity? What about the impurity would obligate a sacrifice? Lochiev el altumas mikdash v'kadashav. It's creating the sliding scale sacrifice obligation for the impure who mistakenly walks into the temple or mistakenly eats sacred meat. So that would be the source. So Gemara says, maybe not. Veima, why can't I propose truma? That when is there a law of a sliding scale sacrifice for an impure kohen who eats teruma, who eats the tithe that's supposed to be given to the priests, the truma? And why? Sha'azar, shehizir, va'anash. Because that's also something where the Torah warns about. Don't eat it when you're impure. And the Torah has a punishment for it. The Torah says that if somebody eats truma while he's impure, a kohen eats truma while he's impure, he gets death in the hands of heaven. So the Gemara suggests, as a response, why truma is not the item that creates the sliding scale sacrifice. Lo ashkechan avon misa d'chiv olei karban. You don't find that sacrifices, which are brought whenever you do something by mistake, are brought for doing by mistake that which have been done on purpose would have gotten death in the hands of heaven. sacrifices are brought for doing by mistake that which you've done on purpose would have gotten kares in the hands of heaven. So the Gemara says, but maybe that's not such a good answer. Hey, mahani mili, maybe that's rule in karban kavua, in a normal sin offering, which is set. Avo, but our offering, which is olavi yorid, now starting today's daft of Zion, but our offering, which is a sliding scale karban olavi yorid, nasi, maybe you should be bringing it not for the impure person who walks into the temple, or the impure person who eats the meat of a sacrifice, the impure person who mistakenly eats, the impure kohen who mistakenly eats truma. And even though truma on purpose gets death, but maybe by mistake it would get the sliding scale carbon. And why would we say that the sliding scale carbon should be different than a typical carbon? Because there are two other cases of the sliding scale carbon. Midi dahavi, ashmias kol, va'abituis fasayim. The two other cases of the sliding scale carbon are the man who mistakenly swears, he forgot that he swore, let's say, to not eat this particular loaf, and he eats the loaf. Or if he swears that he doesn't know testimony, he and another man, they swear that they don't know testimony on behalf of somebody, and then they remember we really did know testimony. So shvuas ha'edus and shvuas bitui, an oath of expression and an oath of testimony, can create the sliding scale carbon. Now, if someone deliberately violates an oath, is he going to get kares? No. If he deliberately violates an oath, is he going to get death? Also not. If somebody deliberately swears that he doesn't know testimony when he does know testimony, would he get kares? No. But nevertheless, even though here in the deliberate form of these violations, there's no kares, there's not even misa, nevertheless, there is a sliding scale karban. The sliding scale karban chatas is different than a normal karban chatas. So since it's different than a normal karban chatas you only bring for doing by mistake that which if done on purpose would have gotten you kares. Let's say Shabbos. If you violate Shabbos on purpose without witnesses, you get kares. So if you violate Shabbos by mistake, you have to bring a karban chatas. Yeah. If you eat chelev on purpose, you'd get kares. If you eat chelev by mistake, you have to bring a karban chatas. A man who has marital relations with a nida on purpose would get kares. If he did it by mistake, he has to bring a karban chatas. So normally the karban chatas is for those sins that carry by mistake, that carry on purpose kares. By mistake, there's a chatas. But here, olav yorid, the sliding scale karban, is a chatas. It's just different forms of a chatas. And yet, it can be triggered for sins that don't have on purpose a penalty of kares. Two of them being shvuas bitui, an oath of expression, and an oath about testimony. So therefore, I would say maybe the third case of olav yorid, something about impurity, the Torah doesn't say exactly what it is that the impure person did, is also about something that has nothing to do with kares. Maybe it's the impure kohen eating truma by mistake, and that's what would create the sliding scale carbon. So we're back to the question, how do we know that the sliding scale carbon is triggered for a tummy person walking into the temple, or a tummy person eating a carbon? You want to say that we learn it just from a simple comparison? There is a punishment of kares for a tummy person who walks into the temple for on purpose, so therefore there should be a chatas for him doing it by mistake? Maybe not. I'll say the chatas is not for walking into the temple, the chatas is for eating truma bituma. Because that also there's a punishment for. That's a punishment that normally doesn't get a chatas. Yeah, but this is not a normal chatas. This is an unusual chatas.
But how can what's the on-purpose punishment for these people? For the falling, swearing falsely?
Lashes.
It's the lashes, so we're saying instead of kares, it's a
it's very different. It's not the normal thing.
How can you rectify a kares?
If you did something on purpose?
Right.
No, so
if you get kares, how can you get out of it?
I mean, right, so one of the ideas is that tshuva, so let's say Shabbos, by studying the laws of Shabbos and teaching other people how to keep Shabbos, so then by having the merit of teaching others to keep Shabbos, that would rectify the sin of violating Shabbos. That would be one example.
You're better off having witnesses and get lashes than kares, right?
But Shabbos doesn't get you lashes. Witnesses would get him stoned. So he'd rather have kares. So so now the Gemara suggests, I'll tell you why the sin I'll tell you how I know that the sliding scale karban is not for a kohen who eats truma while he is impure. Amar kra, because the pasuk says about the sliding scale karban, oki gabetumas adam lechol tumaso asher yitma ba. Or if he touches any impurity, then he will become impure in it. So in it is an exclusion, the Gemara is saying now. In it. Balim ute. In it. In it, but not in something else. So what's the not something else? In it, but not the impure who eats chuma. Ba. In it. Balim ute chuma. To exclude the impure who eats chuma. So Gemara says, why do you read it that way? Ema, read it the other way. Ba. If he's impure in it, namely, if he's impure, that he's an impure person eating truma. Limute, to exclude. Mikdash, to exclude an impure person who walks into the temple. Maybe he can't bring the sliding scale carbon. Ademaisi, carbon kavua. He has to bring a full, normal, set carbon chatas. So, you know, we don't have a source. We don't have a source. That's our problem. Another interesting point that comes out here of this Gemara, I heard this on a recording from Rabbi Shalom Rosner, is that the Gemara is saying that the sliding scale karban is more lenient than a typical karban chatas. A typical karban chatas, it's stricter, that everyone needs to do it. The poor, he has to come up with the money to afford the sheep or the goat. But the sliding scale karban is more lenient. It's saying, you know, if he's poor, okay, so he'll get away with just some flour. He doesn't have to go, you know, work hard to put together the money to somehow afford a sheep. So the Gemara is saying, maybe the sin of walking into the temple while impure is such a severe sin that there shouldn't be a sliding scale carbon for it. There should be a strict carbon for it. A sliding scale carbon, maybe for other things, maybe for eating truma while impure, but to walk into the temple, that you should have a set carbon. So we're back to the question, what's our source that walking into the temple while impure, or eating a sacrifice while impure, by mistake, creates the sliding scale carbon?
What else could it be?
It could be eating truma while impure.
No, what other punishment could it be? Like what else? What
a regular chatas, without the option of anything less. It's such a big sin. He has to bring a regular chatas.
Rabbi, back then.
Yeah, if he does it unintentionally. That's correct. If he's unintentionally, he'd bring a chatas. If he doesn't know he's tameh, he would bring a chatas, not a sliding scale chatas, not the option of being a poor person bringing less, because maybe it's a severe sin.
Rabbi, were there any enforcement mechanism back then, or is this all about your relationship with Hashem and the sort of?
I think if the courts would know, they would force a person to do the right thing. Yeah, they would force him.
They certainly had police.
Well, it's hard to diagnose, you know, whether the guy.
But you don't know if he's on purpose or not. That's true. He could always deny it. That's true. So now, so Kari Rava Le De Rebbe. So Rava said to Rebbe, Dole Mayim Iboro Samukim. Rebbe draws waters from deep wells, because Rebbe came up with the source. The Tanya, as we have an Abaisa. Rebbe Omer, Rebbe says, I'll tell you what the source is. That the sliding scale, I'll tell you something about the sliding scale carbon. The verse says about the sliding scale carbon, O nefesh asher tiga b'chol davar tamei, o benivlas chayat tamei'a, o benivlas behema tamei'a. Again, or a soul that will touch anything impure, or the dead carcass of a wild animal that's impure, or the dead carcass of a domesticated animal that is impure. So Rebbe Omer, Rebbe says, Ekra ni chaya. The Torah could have said, if a person touches a chaya tameya. Why did the Torah also say behema, or a behema tameya, right? It said a dead carcass of a wild animal that's impure. Why also mention a domesticated animal that's impure? Ekra ni chaya, behema lama namra. Why did it say behema tameya? It's to tell you the following. The fact that it mentions behema is to create a gzeira shava. The word behema is extra to link it to another place where the word behema is found. Ne'emar kan behema tameya. It says over here, behema tameya. Ve'ne'emar lahalon, and it says in regards to an impure person who deliberately eats a sacrifice, behema tameya. The whole pasuk there was, v'nefesh ki tiga b'chol tamei, b'tumas adam. A person who will, become tame, or b'chol sheketz tame v'acham b'bsar zevach hashlamim asher l'Hashem v'nichrisa nefesh ahim me'ameh. If he does it on purpose, he will get kares. So there it says behema tameya. So malahalon, just like over there, it's explicit. Tumas kodesh, an impure person eating a sacrifice. Afkan, so to over here in Vayikra chapter 5, it's like Vayikra chapter 7. So Vayikra chapter 5, which has the same word, behema tmeya, is referring to tumas kodesh, an impure person eating a sacrifice. So that's a very powerful source. We have the same word, behema tmeya, in two different places. One is chapter 5, one is chapter 7. Chapter 7 explicitly says that where it says behema tmeya, it's referring to an impure person eating mibsar zevach hashlamim, eating from the shlamim, eating a karban. So therefore, in Vayikra chapter 5, where it's not talking about a punishment of kares, it's talking about a punishment of the sliding scale sacrifice, because he did it inadvertently, he didn't do it on purpose. Therefore, it's also referring to an impure person eating a carbon. So the Gemara says, Ashkechan Tomas Kodesh. Okay, so you have a source that an impure person who eats a carbon has to bring the sliding scale sacrifice if he does it by mistake. But Tomas Mikdash Minalan, how do we know that if an impure person walks into the temple by mistake, he would have to bring the sliding scale carbon? Amar Kra, the verse says, another suggested answer, B'chol Kodesh, Lo siga, when a woman gave birth, so she's impure, she shall not touch any sacrifice. Ve'al mikdash lo savo, and she can't walk into the temple until she becomes pure. So the verse links not eating sacrifice with not walking into the temple. Iskash mikdash l'kodesh. So we have a comparison. Whatever you can't eat, then when you can't eat, you also can't walk into the temple. So now the Gemara says, if your source is a woman who, when she gives birth, is impure, she can't walk into the temple, she can't eat a sacrifice, and we're saying, therefore, when we've learned that you can't eat a sacrifice, creates the obligation of olah v'yored, so walking into the temple creates the obligation of the sliding scale karban, ihachi truma nami, so then someone who, while impure, eats truma by mistake, should have to bring the sliding scale sacrifice. Davar Mar, because we have a brisa which teaches b'chol kodesh lo siga. The woman who gave birth is not allowed to touch any holy. The verse says all holy. Lerabos is a truma. That includes that she cannot eat truma. So the Gemara says no, but truma if a tamei person eats truma, he doesn't have to bring the sliding scale sacrifice because there's a verse excluding truma. Hamiyet rachmana ba, because the Torah says impure in it, but not impure by eating truma. So the Gemara says, maybe not. Amai could tell you, ba, in it, limute, mikdash, is to exclude walking into the temple. And saying that if a person who's impure forgets and he walks into the temple, he doesn't have to bring the sliding scale sacrifice. Because in it, you have to bring the sliding scale sacrifice. But not all things. Not walking into the temple. So the Gemara says, now, mistabra mikdash lo matina. Wouldn't make sense to exclude an impure person walking into the temple. Shekein b'kares kemosa. Because an impure person walking into the temple gets kares the same way an impure person who eats a sacrifice gets kares if he does it on purpose. So the Gemara says, no, adrabba, truma lo matina. I'll tell you the opposite. Don't exclude truma. Shekein achila kemosa. Because truma is something about eating, just like an impure person who eats a sacrifice is something about eating. El amar Rava, so we're back to the problems. How do we know that a person who by mistake is impure and walks into the temple has to bring the sliding scale sacrifice? Amar Rava, Rava suggested it's the following source. Shalosh krisos bishlamim lama. The Torah says three different times that if somebody is impure and he eats a karban shlamim, he gets kares. So why do you have to say it three times? So I'll tell you. Achas leklal. The first time it was said in a general way to say any sacrifices that are eaten in impurity would get kares. Then there is a break, and a bit later it says it again. So the fact that it said it again a bit later means it's not the normal klal uprat. It's a different rule. It's when we say that there's klal, there's a rule, and then there's a later prat which is separated. The later prat which is separated is to teach you about the whole klal. V'achas leprat. So what does it teach you about the whole klal? To say it's not all sacred items that if eaten impure would create impurity, but rather it's to say things like a shlamim that are eaten while a person is impure would create the punishment of kares. So namely things that are holy for the Mizbeach, not, let's say, things that are holy for Bedek HaBayis, that belong to the Temple Trust. Then a third time, why does it say a third time that if a person eats a shlamim while he's impure, he gets kares? V'achas l'tuma k'suva b'Torah. The third time that it says that if a person eats a shlamim while he's tamei, he gets kares, is to tell you that when the Torah elsewhere spoke about impurity, it was talking about, which is in regards to the sliding scale carbon, there it's ve'eni yodei amahi, I didn't know, the Torah talks about impurity, ve'eni yodei amahi, it doesn't say what that impure person did, and it talks about a sliding scale carbon, haviomer tumas kodesh, it's referring to a tamei person eating a carbon, imeinu eating l'tumas kodesh, now, to tell me that if an impure person eats a carbon, he has to bring the sliding scale sacrifice, I don't need to know that, because Rebbe already learned it from the Gzeira Shav of Behema Behema. So Tneu Inyan, so therefore this verse, which says that if an impure person eats a shlamim on purpose, he gets kares, it's not necessary anymore. So Tneu Inyan L'tumas Mikdash, it's telling me that an impure person who walks into the temple by mistake has to bring the sliding scale sacrifice. So it's quite a stretch. It's a verse that's talking about an impure person who deliberately eats a shlamim. It's saying, but since it's unnecessary for that, so it's left over. If it's left over, it's going to tell me an impure person who mistakenly eats a shlamim, that I already know from Behema Behema. So must be it's for telling me an impure person who mistakenly walks into the mikdash has to bring the sliding scale sacrifice. Says the Gemara, but it's not an extra pasuk. Five by the Lukid Reb Avot. We needed that third verse for the lesson of Reb Avot. So Amar Reb Avot says, Shalosh krisos bishlamim lama. Why does the Torah say three different times that if a person on purpose is impure and he eats a carbon shlamim, he gets kares? So why? It's for the following. The first time is leklal. That would tell me any holy thing eaten while impure would get kares. Achas leprat. One is to say no, only holy things that belong on the temple, on the altar. And the third, v'achas ledvarim she'inecham, that even if a person eats things that are normally not edible, if he would eat them while he's impure, he would get kares if he does it on purpose. Let's say he eats ktores. Ktores is not normally eaten. It's a bunch of spices. But if he's impure and he takes a spoon of ktores and he swallows it on purpose, he would get kares. Ulur Bishima, now according to Bishima, Damar, who says, Dvarim she'ein echalim ein chayav malein kares b'shum tuma, that if a person eats things that are not normally edible, while he's impure, there would not be any obligation of kares. So then what's the third verse of don't eat a shlamim while impure? And if you do, you get kares for? Li'isuye chatos apnimios, to tell you that even those offerings that go into the inside of the Beis HaMikdash, most offerings go on the outer altar, but let's say the offering of the goat of Yom Kippur that goes on to the paroches, you have offerings of the nation when the Sanhedrin issues the wrong ruling, parhelam davar shel tzibur, that even the sin offerings that go inside, if they were eaten while impure, they would create a punishment of kares, of death, by God's hand. The Sakat HaDachamina would have thought to say, Ho Alvam Rabbi Shimon, since Rabbi Shimon says, Kol she'eno karev al mizbeach chitzon kishlamim, ein chayav malav mishum pigel, that any offering which doesn't get brought on the outer altar, like a shlamim, doesn't have the law of pigel. Pigel means that when one of the main services are done by the priest, if the priest is carrying the blood to the altar, if the priest is throwing the blood on the altar, if the priest is catching the blood, if during one of these major services, the priest is thinking, I'm going to bring this sacrifice at the wrong time, I'm going to eat this sacrifice a week from now, which is when it's already nosar, then the sacrifice becomes disqualified, no one's allowed to eat the sacrifice. That's pigel. It's got ruined by the thoughts of the priest. So that only applies to sacrifices that are brought on the outer altar. But sacrifices that are brought in the Kodesh HaKodashim, like, let's say, the goat of Yom Kippur, they don't have the rule of pigel. So mishum tumah namilo, maybe they don't have the rule of an impure person eating them. Kamash malan, that's why I need to have a third verse. Demachayev, the third verse telling me a third time that If a person's impure and he deliberately eats a shlamim and he gets kares, why do I need to say it three times? The third time is to say that even inner sacrifices cannot be eaten while in a state of impurity. But that doesn't leave that third verse to tell me that a person who's impure walks into the temple by mistake has to bring a sliding scale karpa. So what's my source that a person who's impure, who forgets and walks into the temple, has to bring a sliding scale karpa?
We have a klal pratik that says it three times. If it only said it once.
It's not a normal klal pratik klal.
If you only said it once, theoretically,
yeah.
Would you learn anything other than what it says? It would just be what it says. It's only because it starts to say it again that you the first one was actually a cloud to include
That's right. Yeah, that's right.
And you wouldn't know it's limited to just some type thing.
That's right. So now how do we know that if a person is impure, forgets that he's impure, walks into the temple, and then comes out and finds out he has to bring a sin offering, but it's the sliding scale sin offering? So rather, the rabbis of Naharda said in the name of Rava. We mentioned that there are three verses that say that if a person deliberately eats a shlamim offering while he is impure, he gets the punishment of kares. So the question is like this. Shalosh tumos b'shlamim lama. Why does it have to say three times he's impure? So why say the word tummy three times? So the answer is like this. Achas leklal. One is to say impure. Achas leprat. One is to say that there is a certain detail to it, that it would, that it's a davar shebechlal, so it has to be a certain characteristic. For achas, and the third time, is l'tumah k'suva b'torah stam, is for when the Torah talks about impurity but doesn't tell us what that impure person does. En yodei amai, I don't know what it is. Havyom ezu tumas kodesh. It's a reference to the impure person eating a sacrifice. Now, emeno inyin l'tumas kodesh. I don't even need a verse to tell me that an impure person who eats a sacrifice has to bring this sliding scale karbon to nafkli midirevi, because that I already know from the word behema. So therefore, it's necessary to tell me that if an impure person walks into the temple by mistake, he brings the sliding scale sacrifice. The Gemara says, no, but I do need that word. No, it's the word tame. The word tame, not the whole verse, just the word tame three times. So the Gemara says, but I need the word tame, because I did the boile michtav kir kares, likud rebavo, since I need it to tell me the lesson of rebavo, that namely, if a person eats items that are not normally edible, let's say he eats the ktoris when he's impure on purpose, that he would get kares. So since it's telling me that if he eats ktoris, he gets kares, you have to say that he's tummy. Kasav nami tumos. So you have to say that he's tummy when he's doing it. The losagli belavachi, because that's to explain what's going on. Why is he getting kares? Because he's tummy when he ate something which is holy, or he's tummy when he ate the ktoris. So we're back to the question. What is the source that a person who's tamei, who walks into the temple by mistake, has to bring a sliding scale sacrifice? Ela amai Rava, so Rava suggested the following. Asya, we derive it from gzeira shava. Tum'aso, tum'aso, the word tum'aso, the word tum'aso. Ksivach, it says over here, in all the laws of sliding scale sacrifices, in Vayikra chapter 5. O ki yiga betum'as adam, l'chol tum'aso, asher yitma ba, l'chol tum'aso, uksiv hasam, and it says over there, in regards to a person who deliberately walks into the temple, es mishkan Hashem timei, v'nichrisa nefesh ahim Yisrael, ki mei nida lo zorak alav, tamei yihiyeh, oh, tum asovo. So it's the same word, tum aso. So mal halan, just like in regards to a person deliberately walking into the temple, it says explicitly, Mishkan Hashem timei, he defiled God's temple. Tum as mikdash, he walked into the temple. Afkan, so to where it says the word tum aso, in regards to the sliding scale sacrifice, tum as mikdash, it's referring to when he walked into the temple. Okay, so now we ended up saying like this, that we know that the sliding scale sacrifice is triggered by mistakenly eating a sacrifice when he's impure from a gzeira shava of behema behema. And we know that the sliding scale sacrifice is triggered for when a person mistakenly walks into the temple from a gzeira shava of the word tum aso, tum aso. So if so, v'ala ba lamali. So then why do I need to have the word ba, if he's impure in it, to exclude something? I needed sources to include Trumas Mikdash and Trumas Kodesh. If I don't have a source to include Truma, why would I include Truma? Why do I need the word ba to exclude anything? So the Gemara says the word ba is l'rabos nivlas of tahar. There's a type of impurity of a person who eats a kosher animal that wasn't slaughtered the right way. So normally when you have impure things, they make you impure by touching them. But an animal, let's say a pigeon that got shot. So a pigeon that was shot, you don't become tameh by touching it. You're only tameh by swallowing it, by eating it. So if a person ate this pigeon that was shot, and then he walks into the temple, he also would have to bring the sliding scale karba. So I said, what do you mean? You're including that? Ha'amrit ba miyutu. Till here you were saying that the word ba in it is excluding things. So my answer is, you're right. The word ba was an exclusion. It is an exclusionary word. But here, it's including. Mishum de miyutahu aiter. This exclusion is extra. Save the verse that said already earlier, O ki yiga, if a man touches something which will make him impure. So that would imply to buy Nagia in. If his impurity is because he touched something, then he has the law of the sliding scale sacrifice. The law of buy Nagia low. But if his impurity is not because he touched something, he wouldn't have the law of sliding scale sacrifice. Then it says a second exclusion. But only in it is there the sliding scale sacrifice, implying something else doesn't have the sliding scale sacrifice. So Havi, this is the general rule. Miut achar miut. When you have an exclusion followed by a second exclusion, a miut achar miut el rabos, an exclusion after a second exclusion is actually an inclusion. So it's saying, I would have excluded the impurity that comes from swallowing a dead pigeon, because that's not an impurity that comes from touch. That's an impurity that comes from eating. But since I have an exclusion after an exclusion, it's to include that impurity. And therefore, if a person walks into the temple having swallowed a killed pigeon, a shot pigeon, he has, by mistake, he has to bring the sliding scale sacrifice. Okay, then the Mishnah said that Yesh b'yadiyah batchila ve'en b'yadiyah basof, if he knew that he was impure, he walked into the temple or he ate a sacrifice, but then afterwards he didn't find out, Sara Nasa b'fnim, so the goat that goes into the holiest of holies on Yom Kippur is what could create protection for him. Tan Rabbanan, we learned it till he finds out. Once he finds out, he brings the sliding scale sacrifice. Tan Rabbanan, we learned by our sages in a Braisa, it says about that goat, the Chiper al Kodesh mitum os b'nei Yisrael, and the Kohen Gadol will atone for the sacred from the impurities of the Jewish nation. So that means it's creating some type of an atonement of impurity. Now, the word tumah can mean all sorts of things in the Torah. I might have thought it means all sorts of things. I might have thought it means tumas avodah zara, the impurity of idol worship, tumas gili arayos, the impurity of adultery, tumas shvichas damim, the impurity of murder. How do we know that these things are called impurity? Here's the sources. Avodah zara hu omer leman tameyas mikdashi. You're defiling my temple with idol worship. Gili arayos hu omer shvart mishmer shmarti, watch my watchmen, watchings, levilt yasos mechukos ator. Don't do the abominations and become impure with them. In regards to murder, it says, don't defile the land. Don't make the land impure. So I would have thought that the goat that goes into the holiest of holies creates atonement for murder, for adultery, for idolatry. That's why it says, me tumos. It atones for some of the impurities, velo kol tumos, not everything called an impurity. So now, how do you know it means these impurities? So the sages figured it out like this. Ma matzinu shechile kakasa miklal kol tumos. What sin which has impurity do we find that the Torah distinguishes from other impurities? Have yomer zutumas mukdosh v'kadashav. It's the impurity of walking into the temple while impure, or the impurity of eating a sacrifice. We'll see on Daf Ches, the Gemara will explain how this is unique. It's unique because it doesn't have a normal carbon chatas. It's a sliding scale carbon. The normal sin has a regular chatas. Afkan, so to here, where it's talking about some tumos getting atonement through the carbon of Yom Kippur, it's tumas mikdash v'kadashav, it's the impurity of the temple or impurity of the sacred items. Divrei Rabbi Yehuda, that's the view of Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Shimon says, I don't need to do that. From those verses, it's already clear to tell me this. Harei Omer, it says, V'chiper ala kodesh, mitumos. He will atone for the holy from the impurities. So that means, mitumos shel kodesh, that this is an offering for the impurities on the sacred items, walking into the temple while impure, or eating a sacrifice while impure. Yachal al kol tumah shel kodesh, maybe every impurity gets in the temple, gets purified, gets atoned with this sacrifice. He saw Ezer Machaper. That's what the verse continues and says, Umipish Ehem Lochol Chatosam. And from all of their crimes to all of their mistakes. Now, Chatayim Dumi Dupshan. That means that the mistakes have to be like crimes. Mapshayim Shainim B'nei Karban. It's crimes that you wouldn't bring a karban for. Av Chatayim Shainim B'nei Karban. So it must be the mistakes that don't bring a karban, you don't bring a karban for. So what's a mistake you don't bring a karban for? If you didn't even know that you did it. You haven't known when you came out yet that you did it. How do we know that this situation where he knew he was impure and he shouldn't go in, and then he forgot and he went in, but he doesn't know yet that he went in, that this offering just creates a protection till he will find out and then bring the sliding scale karban? Tamaloma, that's what the pasuk says. For all of their mistakes, we're talking about a person who will eventually have to bring a karban chatas. He'll have to bring the sliding scale chatas. And right now he doesn't, because he doesn't yet know. Welcome.